I had no intention of joining the military. I went to go to college and pursued an artist's lifestyle of drawing and painting and being Bluto from Animal House. I wanted to chase women, drink beer, took an ASVAB test, Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, and I scored pretty high, and I started getting phone calls from everybody, Air Force, Navy, Army, and all their ideas were, here's the job training that we can give for you, here's the money for college and all that, and I had no interest in any of that. Anyway, the Marine Corps recruiter, I met him, and instead of talking about jobs, he was talking about being a Marine and the virtues and being that, and that really appealed to me. I was a French horn player in a Grenada High School marching band. We were number one in Mississippi, number three in the South, number 13 in the nation, and everybody was great at what they did, and they wanted to be great, and to be part of that organization where everybody tried so hard to do the best job that they could. How many organizations can anybody say they've ever been a part of to do that? And the recruiter shows up and he has the same thing. You join this fraternity of Marines where every Marine is a brother of every other Marine. You may see somebody you don't know, but you recognize a blood stripe. You can go up to him and say, hey, brother. And we don't have the same thing to each other. It's just a connection. And yeah, being part of the band helped me go into the Marine Corps. I just wanted to be a Marine. Just wanted to be a part of this fraternity. And went into the Marine Corps, and they placed me in avionics. So I became an avionics technician on F-18s, Hornets. So almost a year of school straight, electronics and computers. Then I shipped out shortly thereafter to Desert Storm, where our squadron was part of an air group out of Bahrain. After a while, we came back home to Hawaii and did a couple of tours to Japan and got out in 1994. During the course of the 5 years in Marine Corps, I became kind of self-aware. Growing up in the South, there was no point of view other than the white Protestant Southern male point of view. Being in contact with other cultures, even though at the beginning I thought they were inherently wrong because of my background, but still there was enough of me to listen. The more I listened, the more I saw commonality between different cultures and people. And the more I saw commonality, the less black and white world that I came from, the less hold it had on me. And then I found a love for philosophy and psychology, and then I started going to school for psychology. And then 9/11 happened, and I was very angry. And I was on the phone call, I'm sure, with probably half the country trying to sign back up. And because of my prior service in the Marine Corps, I had to go through a prior service recruiter out of Portland. And he probably swamped with phone calls. They lost my paperwork, and mission was accomplished. There's President Bush on the aircraft carrier with the big old banner. And, oh, war's over. All right, I might as well go back to college. I'd get up in the morning, you know, make my coffee, get ready to go to class. There I am watching CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. And I kept noticing Marines are doing house-to-house clearing. House-to-house clearing is what you see on TV, is SWAT teams. And everybody has their particular function as they enter a room, as they enter a house, and what areas they're responsible of keeping their weapon trained on. So that we clear that room, we clear that building of all enemy activity. So when I saw this every day, I left messages on everybody's recruiter tapes. And here's my name, here's my phone number. The first one to come up with some paperwork for me, I'll sign it. But I want to go back over and be with my guys. So it was National Guard. They offered me a position working on Black Hawk helicopters, and I turned it down. I said, no, I want a rifle, and I want to be on the ground. And then a couple months later, I found myself downtown Baghdad as a backfill, a casualty replacement for a unit that was already over there. I was a sergeant leading troops in Iraq. Alpha Company, 3rd Platoon, 3rd Squad. And actually, I couldn't go out for a couple of days because I had to get my weapon qualified, make sure the little red dot along the top of the rifle is sighted in and such. So when you put your target on what you're supposed to be hitting, that you hit it. I'm an expert sharpshooter, and I couldn't get my rifle sighted. And I had to watch as my platoon left on patrol. And I would sit in the room for a couple of hours where my soldiers that I'm supposed to be with are outside the wire. And finally, we got it a bore sight, which is you use a laser and you match your laser coming from your bore with the laser on your target in a dark room. And we're able to do that, and that counted. And so I was able to go.
So what was holding you back? Was there something wrong? The rifle just wasn't working well? Or?
Well, my Marine Corps training is with M16s. The M4 is a shorter rifle. And without going into a class about marksmanship and stock weld and eye relief and all this other stuff, when you change one of those little things, you affect how you shoot the rifle. I was also dealing with a brand new sight system, M68. I've always used iron sights. Never used an M68 before. Didn't even know how to adjust an M68. Neither did the guys that were trying to run us to this range.
Did that surprise you?
Oh, that did kind of surprise me, because in the Marine Corps, we are experts at the rifle. This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. Without my rifle, I am useless. Without me, my rifle is useless. I will learn my rifle as my friend. If I can right now take apart an M16A2 service rifle with my eyes closed in a dark room. The M4 is a different thing, and it was a shock to me to see NCOs, staff NCOs, not know how many turns on a sight, adjust a sight. There are some great Army instructors out there, great NCOs. I don't want to take away from their accomplishments, but overall, the Army does not place that same importance on learning a weapon. I have privates that are coming under my care in the infantry. When we go to shoot, we're on a range, and one, they don't know how to do basic rifle marksmanship. They don't know the steps. When I walk them through the process and I say, okay, make your dope go down 2 and right 3. And they'll look at me like, how do you do that? Like, what do you mean, how do you do that? Well, they wouldn't let us touch it in Army boot camp. The drill sergeants did it for us. How in the heck are you training soldiers go out to war and they can't even make adjustments to their own rifle?
Now, what's the consequence of something like that in combat?
Helplessness. Or if not helplessness, uncertainty what to do. Even if you're a cook in the Marine Corps, you go to infantry school, which means you know how to do defensive tactics, you know how to do patrols, you know what security is, you know how to operate not only the M16 A2 service rifle, but also the M60, the AT4 pistol, how to utilize claymores, how to set up defensive positions with concertina wire, all kinds of stuff. You know how to do this. Plus, you've done some patrols on foot and everything. You know how to take orders, you know how to organize. The Army doesn't do that. Some Marines are like, oh, I can never wear the Army uniform. So I always remind them, well, the Marine Corps, our motto is Semper Fi, which is short for the Latin Semper Fidelis, and it means always faithful. And when you ask a Marine, what are we faithful to? We were always trained in boot camp. We're faithful to our God, our country, our Corps, our family, and ourself in that order. And to defend this country, if I had to wear a Girl Scout uniform, I'll wear a Girl Scout uniform, whatever organization I got to belong to. We're faithful to our country before our Corps.